Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking about a business that has been around for 50 years. It's called Thompson and Shear Farm Supply. Now, I have to give you a little bit of a note here at the beginning of this program. I recorded this program with the Thompson Shear owner, Jim Ed Shear, back on Wednesday, May the 4th. We had it all set to run for the 28th of May, when on the 19th, that afternoon, Jim Ed Shear passed away. Because of that, we decided to pull the program for the 28th, and I went to his children, Steve and Linda, to ask them if it would be okay to air this program. They gave us their blessings and said that Jim Ed was quite excited that we were able to record this program, and he was quite excited for his family to hear it, and that he would want it to go on as planned. So this morning, we play this program in memory of Jim Ed Shear and the community contributions that he made that is just too numerous to mention. He was a good businessman. He was a good family man, and he gave a lot to Jessamine County. And right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank, we'll hear that interview that took place just 15 days before his passing. Jim Ed Shear and Thompson and Shear Farm Supply is next on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. We appreciate you tuning in this morning as we continue to remember and learn about things Jessamine County, people, places, and things. Well, today we have a gentleman with us whose name has been around in our county for several years and continues to be. Jim Ed Shear is here today. He is the owner of Thompson and Shear Farm Supply. Good morning, Jim Ed.
Good morning, Doug. Glad to be here.
Well, I appreciate you coming. This show does two things. We have a lot of people that listen to this program who are from here and have been here for a long time, and it's a remembrance for them. But on the other hand, we have a lot of listeners that are new to our community and our area, so this is kind of a learning experience for them. So I wanted to talk today about your business, but not only that, the Shear family, too. So let's start with personal information first, in that tell us who your parents were and where they were, how they even got to be to Jessamine County. How did that happen?
Well, Doug, they were Jessamine Countyans all their life.
Okay.
And my dad's name was Dan Shear. Mm-hmm. Dad died at an early age. He died of a heart attack one night, went to bed in 57, never did wake up the next morning.
Yeah.
And my mother was a Blevins, Mary Ann Blevins was her name.
Mm-hmm.
Mom and Dad were Jessamine County citizens, like I say,
for all their lives.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, what did your dad do?
They were farmers.
Farmers.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were farmers. Yeah.
Well, at some point in time, they decided to have a family.
Yes.
So let's talk about your siblings and how all that. Who's the oldest?
My oldest brother is Vernon.
Okay.
And he lives in Gainesville, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He took an early retirement with IBM and moved to Florida, raised most of his family in Gainesville, Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's the oldest one of the
bunch. Okay.
Yeah.
Who's next?
And then Dan is next.
Dan Young, yeah.
And Dan's local. He's been right here in Jessamine County all of his life.
Right.
Cattle farmer.
Yeah.
And, of course, we all raised tobacco and corn and just about anything that you could raise on the farm.
Coached me in Little League Baseball.
He coached you in Little League Baseball.
I think Vernon helped him.
Vernon might have helped him a little bit when he was here, yeah.
The thing I will remember the most about your brother, Dan Young, is that if you happened to be goofing off or messed up a little bit on the ball field, he didn't have to yell at you. You could tell by looking at him that he wasn't happy. But the thing I always appreciated is even though he wasn't happy, when you came in off that field, he'd always pat you on the butt and assure you that it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still remember that after all these years, him treating us like that.
Well, and you do, Doug. A lot of people do. And Dan was pretty much a disciplinarian. He left to have fun, but when it come to sports or it come time to get down to business, he expected the best out of everybody.
Sure, that's right.
And I think that's why you guys appreciate
it. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. So we have Vernon with Dan Young. You next?
I am next.
Okay.
Yeah, I am next. Yes. Okay. And I've been around for a few years. So I'm in the middle of the group, and I'm next. And born and raised in Jessamine County. Right. Graduated from Wilmore High.
The Bears.
Last graduating class from Wilmore.
Before they consolidated into Jessamine.
1958.
All right.
And we were the last graduating class from Wilmore High.
Did you play sports down there?
I did
play sports. So I guess you played for Coach Maxwell?
I played for Coach Maxwell. He coached them all, and I played them all. Well, we were a small school, and all the kids had to participate in it. And we were decent. And Coach Maxwell was one of those guys that you're talking about respect.
Right.
I mean, I could still hear them shoes clicking across that gymnasium floor when we were in the basement dressing. And when you got ready to practice or play, you better have your act together.
Better be ready.
Yeah.
So we got you three boys, more kids.
Two more.
All right.
Two more. My sister.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we lost Bonnie a few years back.
Right.
10 or 12 years back. She also lived here in Jessamine County. And
she was a Roberts?
She was married to Gene Roberts.
Right,
yes.
Yeah. And then you got one more.
And then I've got my youngest brother is Ronald Dale.
Right, Ronald Dale Shear.
Yeah.
He's here and there, isn't he?
He's here and there. Matter of fact, I think he's coming back from Florida.
Yeah.
He may have come back yesterday.
Yeah.
They go down there in the wintertime and I talked to him last week, and I think he told me they'd be back the middle of this week. So they go back and forth during the winter, and he's in the building business, Ronald. Mm-hmm. Took it from his granddaddy Blevins. He can build just about anything. Him and my oldest brother both are pretty good at that. So
last week we had Jared Polson on our show, and so the reason I bring that up, it has to do with sports. All you boys were really involved in sports. How did that all come about? Was it just happened?
Well, I think it just happened, Doug. We all, you know, like I say, we all grew up on a farm and worked every day, and everybody was pretty active, and we just all liked sports.
Right.
And like I say, all of us did graduate from Wilmore, with the exception of Bonnie and Ronald Dale. Mm-hmm. And it was a small school, and they went out and they wanted people that could halfway play to come out for their team. So that's the way we got involved in sports, in basketball and football. And we didn't have a baseball team at Wilmore, but we had the basketball and football. So we started to play in there. And my mother, when I was a freshman, she had told me, "You're not going to play football. You're too little."
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And so Dan was playing then.
Yeah.
And he told me one day, he said, "Coach Maxwell wants you to come out for the football team." He said, he needs you. I said, "Well, Dan," I said, "you know, Mom don't want me to play football." He said, "She'll be all right." So the next day, I didn't ride the bus home. I stayed for football practice.
Yeah.
And, of course, then, you know, when you practice and all, when you got home, you still had your chores and stuff that you had to do.
Right.
So when I got home, I took a pretty good little chew, and she said, "Where have you been?" She said, "You've worried me to death." And so I said, "Well, Mom, Coach Maxwell wanted me to come play football," and Dan told me, said, "Mom said, I think he's going to start." Said,
"Yeah.
You know, said, we need him." And said, "Yeah. I'm kind of responsible for that." She said, "Well, I told you I didn't want you to play." But you know something, Doug? My mom or dad, neither one, never missed a game that I can remember any of us ever played in. And that's important.
That is important.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I was talking about your brother coaching me in Little League. When I played my brother, there was like 1 year where we'd play together, and then I'd move up.
Right.
But there was a time I can remember he played Little League, and I was in Babe Ruth. And a lot of times, and that's when we still played out at what is now West Jessamine.
Right.
That was when it was Jessamine County High, and that's where the ball fields were. And I remember many days that she'd have her lawn chair in the middle of the grass area watching me on one field and him on the other. And the best I can remember of all those years we played, and I don't know how many that was, but going from – Of course, back then, they didn't have T-ball. It started with minor league. All through Babe Ruth, I think she missed one, maybe two games of all of those, and that was because of medical things that she couldn't avoid. But, yeah, it is important. You know, we interviewed on this show Barry Waldrop a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Barry's dad died in Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
When Barry was 15. And Barry was a pretty good athlete.
Yep.
And he even made the comment, he said that when he played baseball, he said, I looked up in the stands and just wished that Dad could be there watching me. And I guess it's people like that that make you really appreciate the fact your parents were there, like yours.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and then they don't say much to you when you're there.
Right.
But they let you know when I've got two grandsons that are playing now, and I try to be there when they play, but now they're playing two different sports, and it makes it a tough decision, you know. Have to try to go see one of them one night, one the next.
Right.
Of course, one of them's a senior and the other's a sophomore. My sophomore told me the other day, he said, Papa said, go watch in Cooper play. He said, you got two more years to watch me play.
So, well, that's good.
But as long as they're playing and I'm able to go.
You go.
Because it meant so much to me for my family to be there when I was playing.
Sure.
I go places and Cooper looking. He said, Papa, she said, how did you find it? I said, oh, it was easy. I'll drive 2 or 3 hours to go watch them play.
Well, sure, it's your grandkids.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, we found out about the family. Let's get back on just you now. You went to Wilmore High. After you graduated, what was next for you?
Well, I graduated, like I say, in 1958. And then I went to Georgetown College for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I live with my uncle out on the farm down there because he needed help, and I kind of worked on the farm, helped him, and tried to go to school too.
Sure,
and
sure.
It was a pretty good hassle, but we hung in there pretty good. And then during the summer when I come back home, there was a group of people that had bought a farm supply business, and that group was called Jessamine Farm Service Incorporated.
Okay.
And my uncle was part of that.
Yeah.
So he called me one day and asked me if I wanted to work during the summer at the farm supply store.
Now was this kind of like a co-op? Kind of like the old Southern States co-op?
Yeah.
So your local people owned the interest in it?
Owned the interest in it.
Okay.
There's about 22 different ones of them.
All right.
There were stockholders in it. So I went up and I started working, and I worked through the summer. And man, I mean, sometimes I'd get $25, $30 a week, I thought.
Oh, you were rolling.
I was doing pretty good.
Yeah.
And when it come time for school to start again, I kind of made the decision that I was going to keep on working.
Yeah.
And never did I believe that that would be the beginning of me ending up in the farm supply business.
Yeah.
So that's the way I started into the farm supply.
So you kept working. Can you remember, and this may be hard to do, can you remember some of those names of those people who would have been involved in that early one?
Mr. Elmer Groh, if you remember it. Mr. Elmer Groh was involved in that. Frank and Buford Moss.
Oh, yeah.
Was in it. My uncle, which was Paul Shear.
Yeah.
Was involved in it. Cecil and Major Upton.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Quillen was one of them, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
M.P. Nichols.
Oh, yeah. He was an extension agent. Yeah.
He was the soil conservation man. He was in it.
That would have been prior to Spim Mitchell, I guess, wouldn't it? Yeah, before Clarence.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this group got together and decided, let's open a place where farmers can get their product. Is that basically right?
Yeah, and it was the old C.T. Ashley building.
Down here on Main Street.
On
4th Street. Okay.
You know, C.T. Ashley started on Main Street.
On Main, where CVS is.
Yeah, and then he moved to 4th Street. So they bought that property and decided to go into the farm supply business and hired a guy out of Irvin and Ravenna to run the store for him. His name was Clarence Nolan, and he's the only guy that I ever worked for.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What point in time, though, did Thompson come into it and Shear come in? How did that all come about?
When I was working for the other company. Now, at one point in time, Jessamine Farm Service Incorporated ended up selling out to a fella in Georgetown by the name of Orm Wright.
Okay.
And he had 6 or 7 stores, and he called them Big Track. So he wanted me to continue to work for him.
Now, this would have been in the 60s?
This would have been probably 60 two, three, and four.
All right. Okay.
And five along in that area.
Yeah.
And so during that time that I was working for him, I got to know Harry Thompson, which we all call Sut Thompson.
Sut Thompson, yeah.
Sut Thompson lived, all his family live out on the edge of the south end of Nicholasville.
Farm still there,
run a dairy farm.
Yep, yep.
So Sut become one of my customers.
And for those people that are new to our community, it's out on the left, right before you get to Southbrook.
After you pass the two fire stations, then there's a little lane that turns to the left right there.
Yeah.
And then the farm starts right there.
Okay.
And that was his farm. And so he became one of my customers and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a lot. And we were having a conversation at his farm one day. And he just said, Jim, I've been milking these cows for a long time. I'm about ready to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if that place ever comes for sale up there, he said, to me and you ought to buy it. And I got to thinking about that. Of course, I was a young fella then, Doug. And I said, well, that may not be such a bad idea.
Yeah.
And so all of that stuff come about a couple of years later.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1966, that's when we started our business.
Now, it was still on 4th Street.
Still on 4th Street.
Okay.
In 1966, we decided the people we were working for decided to close up.
Right, right.
And the store was closed for probably 3 or 4 days. And then they had a sale and sold the merchandise.
Yeah.
Well, we knew what we wanted to buy and what we didn't want to buy. So that day is when we started, and it was the middle of February 1966.
So let's see. This is your, 50th anniversary this year?
Last February, the 15th of February was 50 years.
Gone quick, hadn't it?
50 years. It has gone quick.
Thompson and Shear Farm Supply was born then. That's when it was born, in 66, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you pretty much keep in stock and sell what they did then? Was it?
Well, we did for a while, Doug, and then one morning I woke up and I said, you know, if I don't do something different from what we're doing now, we may have to shut this place down. So we decided to diversify a little bit.
Okay.
And up until that point, we were grinding feed and making feed and selling feed pretty much the same way that it had come.
Right.
So we decided that we needed to get into the seeding business, and then about 15 years later, sod come along for us.
Right.
And then we started to doing residential stuff,
maintenance
and stuff like that, and decided to do that, and thank goodness that we did decide to do that.
Well, I guess at the time that you made that decision to diversify, there was other places in this county where you could get the same thing.
Yes.
And that's why you need. Now, did you all ever sell farm implements?
We did not sell any. We did not sell any implements at all. And our main competition when we started was Southern States.
Yeah,
of course,
right.
They've been here for years, and they're still. But we decided to get into other things, and we still sell a lot of feed. But the other stuff that we sell kind of blends in with what we do.
Right.
We have been very fortunate to do pretty good with that got a lot of good, loyal customers.
Oh, yeah.
We've had for a long time. And we also have a lot of good, loyal suppliers.
Sure.
Now,
sure.
May not be the same companies.
Right.
But most of them are the same people
that
we're dealing with now.
How long have you had it now?
I think Sut has been gone, Doug, and this is a guess.
Sure,
I
can't, sure.
15, 20 years.
Now, so when he died, is that when you, I guess, bought his from his estate or something?
Yes.
Bought it all.
Bought it all. Betty and I bought it all.
Yeah.
And I might also say, Doug, while we're talking, you know, none of this would have been possible without all of my family participating.
Sure.
Betty's been the only bookkeeper we've ever had.
You must trust her.
Yeah, I do trust her. Been the only bookkeeper that we've ever had, and she does a great job with that. And I'm telling you, at the end of the day and the end of the week, when she does, if there's a penny or two gone, she wants to know
she
where.
She wants to know where. Yeah, well, that's what you got to have.
And that's been a good thing. And then Linda and Steve, they help us out on it.
Sure.
And And for the last 18 or 19 years, we hired Benny Wayne. You know Benny Wayne.
Oh, very well. Benny. In fact, we were talking about baseball when I played Babe Ruth. He didn't coach me. He was the opposing coach.
Yeah.
And that's how I learned to who Benny Wayne was. Yeah. Benny, and the, in fact, it was really odd. His team was the Jets. And about that time was when Elton John came out with that song, Benny and the Jets.
Yeah.
It was almost like it was written for him. Of course, Benny, you know, he comes from a family, Jessamine County, Wayne family, and he went on to become a pretty prolific Little League umpire. In fact, he umpired the World Series one
time. Well, we got a plaque hanging up at our store right now where about four years ago, he umpired the final game between Georgia and Japan.
Yeah.
Even the Little League World Series.
Yeah.
Big deal.
It is a big deal.
He worked hard to get there. But
sure.
But Benny's been working for me for about 20 years. And then we got another fellow that works for us, Tommy Moberly.
Oh, yeah. Down around Wilmore, Sonny's kid.
Yeah, Sonny's boy. And he's been with us a long time. And we just got a lot of good employees. And, and we get a whole lot done with a lot less people than a lot of people have. But
been a lot of changes in this county in those 50 years. You've seen them. If people 50 years ago, for that matter, people 30 years ago, could come back today and see our county and how it, they'd be amazed, wouldn't they?
They would be. Yeah, they would be, Doug.
And you've lived through it. You've seen the changes. Now, speaking of changes, you didn't stay on 4th Street. We need to talk about that. Yeah. When did you go over to Edder?
Okay, we stayed on 4th Street, and I'm thinking, Doug, till pretty close to 1983. So we were at 4th Street probably 15 to 17 years, something like that.
So now when you go around 4th, just so people will know, when you turn there by what used to be Southern States across the street from Stratton Lumber, and you go around the curve, went straight, you'd go right on the railroad tracks.
You go on right. When you go around the curve.
So those buildings right there?
Our building started right there on the right.
Mm-hmm.
When you went around the curve, and I think Dunaway Plumbing is operating that building now.
Yeah, and at one time, didn't Bennis Stinnett?
Bennis had a coal had a coal lock there next to us. Matter of fact, used our scales to weigh with and all.
Yeah.
But that's where we started at.
And, of course, I guess back then, Jim Ed, it was because of the proximity of the train tracks.
Absolutely. We got stuff in on, we got feed and salt and stuff like that in on rail cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had the track coming right up against the building. And so that's where we started at. And then we got to thinking that we probably wasn't going to be there forever. And got to looking around a little bit, and we found this property over there where we're at now on Edder Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And the only problem with that, Doug, that the bypass was not there.
Well, yeah.
No, and the only way you get to us is to come in.
Was on 3rd Street. Across.
Off 3rd Street.
Yeah.
And so some of my customers were a little bit concerned when we bought that land over there. I had one guy that he was a really good customer and a good friend, and he'd call me about every night, and he'd say, Jim Shear. He'd call me Jim Shear, he said, Jim Shear, he said, you sure you're doing the right thing? I said, no, sir, I'm not sure. But I think it's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think you
And we knew, or we didn't, we had been told where the bypass was coming.
Yeah.
The only thing that was wrong with it was 7 years later than what we thought it was going to be doing that. So the only way you could get to us, but when you got to our place, you had parking.
Right.
And it was easy to access in and out of.
Right,
so
right.
That worked out pretty good. And so we started there, I think, in 1983.
Yeah.
Then when the bypass opened up, things began to open up a little bit.
Right,
and it's turned out to be a good location.
And you've got, you've got all kinds of things. Of course, you still got your sod and all that kind of stuff over there. And see, I know that's where I get my beans every year.
Yeah.
There's everything over there. If people need, one of the neatest things that I ever got over there was the cedar, the push-along little thing.
Yeah.
But there, you've got all kinds of stuff over there that people could use in their gardens and their farms. And it's just amazing when you walk in. And it reminds me of a lot of what I would think an old-time feed store would look like.
Yeah. Well, we try to keep that look.
Yeah.
But we also try to keep
be somewhat modern, sure.
We keep a little bit of everything
right
that people would need and like I say, and that's where Benny, he does an awful good job of ordering and keeping stuff in there. And we do have a lot of different things there. Yeah. And we do a lot of hay. We bale our own hay. We're fixing to get started here just as soon as the weather will let us. Mm-hmm. We'll bale 50,000 bales of hay.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's the old square bales.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we sell out. We sell out every year. Matter of fact, we're out right now just waiting to get started cutting again. We end up every year having to buy a little bit, but we try to bale most all of the stuff that we sell ourselves, so we know what we're getting.
And you're talking about diversifying, and another thing I'm sure that you had to keep in mind, and you have to change with the times.
Right.
And this is just the truth. Our community is not the farming community it used to be. Uh-huh. When I was growing up, that's what sustained this whole county was the farmers and the farming community. And it didn't matter if it was tobacco. And, mainly, but you had your cattle and you had your hogs and all that stuff, too. But that has changed so much. It's just not that way anymore. And I guess you guys had to say, OK, how are we going to change with that?
Yeah. And that's why we decided to get in.
Yeah.
Because there's more houses being built. There's more demand for seeding and sodding and that type of stuff. And now we're dealing a lot with part-time farmers that has enough, thank goodness, has got another job to pay the bills.
Yes.
Because they got to the point to where the farming has just made it pretty tough to make enough off of the farming to pay the bills. Last few years, I think farmers have all done a lot better. The cattle market is there for a couple of years was great, and that really helped out a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the people has missed the tobacco too much. Of course, the tobacco was a big cash crop, and that's what paid for everything else. But they've been able to do a little better job with their hay and with their cattle and with that type thing to take up some of the slack on the tobacco. And I'll tell you, the labor pretty much took care of most of the tobacco because they got to the point to where they just couldn't get the kind of labor to do it. Yeah.
So when you were growing up, just ballpark, out of 100%, what do you think the percentage was of farmers in our community?
I'm going to guess probably 70 to 80%. Okay. I'd say, Doug.
What do you think it is now? I'm talking about those people who are farming for a living.
I'd say we'd be pushing 30 or 40.
And that's probably high.
Yeah.
Things have changed.
Yeah.
And things do change. And they always will. And there's nothing we can do to stop that.
And a lot of them sold their land.
Sure.
To subdivide it and stuff like that.
And you can't blame them.
You cannot blame them. There's no way they can make off of it farming it what they could make.
That's right.
And that's what's happened to most of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of things have changed, but a lot of things have stayed constant. I mean, you've been in business 50 years, and you're one of those guys, and I think I can say this. We were just talking one other program. I can remember kids that I went to school with that just couldn't wait to get out of this county.
Yep.
And I never felt that way, and I know the Shears never felt that way. You all have stayed here and stayed true to it and raised your families and been business for a long time. Never had that feeling. This is home, isn't it?
It's absolutely home, and I think it's just one of the greatest places in Central Kentucky to live.
We've
never even thought about looking for anything else at all, and I think our community is a great community. Mm-hmm. To live in, and we got good schools, we got good government, and you're not going to satisfy everybody. I just think it's one of the best places in the world to live.
We have our problems, but everybody else does too.
Absolutely.
But it's home.
Absolutely.
It's home. Well, Jim, believe it or not, our time is up. But I want to say thank you to your family and for sticking it out for all that you have provided. And I know this business has been a way to raise your family. I understand that you don't do anything. I mean, you got to take care of your family. But the fact is you've provided a lot of good things to a lot of people in this community throughout the years, through 50 years and longer, but for specifically Thompson and Shear, by making sure that the farmers were able to get what they needed to make the community great. And, when you look at where we are now, those business owners from back in the 50s and 60s, they helped pave the way and laid the foundation for our community to continue to grow. And we appreciate you being a part of that.
Well, we appreciate it, Doug. And like I say, it's been home to us. It's always home to us, and met a lot of great people.
Oh yeah,
The years that I was there, and people ask me now, they say, "When are you going to retire?" Mm-hmm. And they don't realize I did that about 15 years ago. You know, but I enjoy getting up as long as I feel like it.
Sure.
I enjoy getting up and going to work every day. I don't do any work, but we've got several guys that work for us, and I have to get them to places and just show them what I want done,
that's working.
And then that's the end of it. They do the rest.
Yeah.
And like I say, Doug, we've had a lot of great people in Jessamine County that has been loyal to us.
Right.
Every time a new business comes in, they say, "What are you going to do?" I say, "Well, guys, I don't know how to do but one thing."
Right.
And I said, "We're just going to keep on doing
what
we've been doing, and it's worked for us, and we're very, very thankful." And
we wish the best to the company in 50 more years. You and I probably won't be around to see it, but hopefully it'll continue to go, and the name will be carried on.
We hope to continue on here for as long as we can.
Good. But, thank you.
I appreciate you having me, bud.
Ladies and gentlemen, that interview took place on May the 4th, just 15 days prior to the passing of Jim Ed Shear. And while he didn't get to hear it, his family did. And it will be preserved for them so that they can remember their dad always in this venue. To the Shear family, from all of us at Jess FM, our sincere condolences. We wish you the best in the future days. And we hold up the memory of your dad, Jim Ed Shear, and what he did for us in Jessamine County. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back next Saturday, 11 o'clock Saturday morning, with another edition of All Things Jessamine, right here on Jess FM 105.9.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.